Welcome to Finding Pelvic Sanity. If you're struggling with pelvic pain, pelvic floor dysfunction, or pregnancy and postpartum issues, you're in the right place. These issues are common, but not something that you have to live with. We've seen the most complex patients from all over the world at Pelvic Sanity in Southern California. You might be feeling frustrated, embarrassed, or dismissed by the medical community, often for years. We know just how tough that can be, and we want to help you find pelvic sanity again.
We're Jesse and Dr. Nicole Cozine. Together we run Pelvic Sanity Physical Therapy, wrote the IC Solution, and Nicole has trained thousands of pelvic PTs to provide better care. We want this podcast to provide hope and get you on the path to healing.
Thousands of people with pelvic health issues find relief and live healthy, happy, and pain-free lives. And so can you. Let's get started.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Finding Pelvic Sanity podcast with Jesse and Dr. Nicole Cozine. Hey Nicole.
Hello.
Excited to talk today about a question we get asked really frequently, and we see a lot in the Finding Pelvic Sanity online support group as well. Should pelvic PT hurt, or what if it actually hurts to go to pelvic physical therapy? Nicole, just as a too long don't read version, what do you got?
The short answer is no, absolutely not. But we're going to go into why that is the case and what you should do about it if this is happening in this podcast.
So I think one of the things that's important to realize is a little bit of understanding there is that you are working, Nicole, when you're dealing with pelvic floor dysfunction, by definition, with some dysfunctional tissue that is going to be more prone to pain or discomfort than a normally functioning area of the body.
Yes. And so what pelvic floor dysfunction is, which if you're listening to this podcast, you may have, because it's very likely that you have that if you have things like pelvic pain, incontinence, basically any of the things that cause pelvic floor issues, the pelvic floor is also a little bit dysfunctional. And what happens when that's dysfunctional is that there's compensatory things that happen at other areas of the body in and around the pelvic region. And what happens is that a lot of times the tissue around there, and by tissue we mean muscles, nerves, ligaments, and all the things that attach to near and where the pelvic floor is, can have decreased blood flow and increased inflammation. And that in and of itself, in response to pain, can lead to tissue, or when someone's touching you, can lead to discomfort. And so we call that in the IC Solution book, and also just in our clinic, we call that the dip cycle, the dysfunction, inflammation, and pain cycle. Y'all are in this cycle when you come to see us for pelvic floor physical therapy. And so we are working with some things that are going a little bit awry in this dip cycle.
So that is not, however, a justification or meaning that pelvic PT should hurt, because the answer is it absolutely shouldn't. Now, I've had physical therapy myself, Nicole. This can be uncomfortable, and the way that you work on somebody can maybe mimic symptoms that they have, but how do we kind of differentiate between, ooh, that's a little bit uncomfortable, or man, I really don't like when you mobilize my belly button like that. As a personal example here, like, ooh, that doesn't feel great, versus like, oh, this is actually painful and really should be avoided. What's the differentiating factor?
Yeah, well, I think that ultimately, one of the signposts that it's okay to keep working there is that if it's uncomfortable, if your pelvic floor PT touches an area either internally or externally, one of the things that you can look for is that is it bearable? So at the point where, and is it bearable to a point where you aren't distracted by it, where it almost makes you go like, ooh, that's tender, that's uncomfortable, but we don't go over into that like, uh-oh, what's happening? And there's no fear associated with that. So, you know, at our clinic, we like to use like mild, moderate, severe. It should certainly be in that mild category. And here's the thing, it should ease up as we're working on it. That's the key. It shouldn't really stay the same, and it certainly shouldn't get any worse as we're continuing to work on something, because at the end of the day, that's what your PT should be assessing for and being able to change a little bit of what they're doing in order to make it in that bearable, mild sort of category that should ease up.
So what about, Nicole, the old adage, no pain, no gain? Like, isn't it something where, man, if I can just tolerate this, if I can have the person work through all of that dysfunction, no matter how painful it is, isn't that going to give me better results? I think is what a lot of us have been almost trained to think. But your point is that's totally wrong. And not only wrong, it's incredibly counterproductive.
Yeah, I think that that's different. I want you all to understand that if you have a pelvic floor problem, we're wired differently there, down there. And so it's different than like, oh, my shoulder hurts and my therapist was really, you know, some of the terms like cranking on my arm and really increasing that range of motion. There are some post-surgical orthopedic conditions where, you know, some things have to go up into that moderate category where you are trying to gain range of motion. It's actually more detrimental if that range of motion isn't getting better in a certain period of time after a surgery, for example. But at the end of the day, once we're in this pelvic pain cycle or a pelvic floor issue, when you have pain for longer than 3 months for any reason, especially in the category where we're not really sure why it's happening, then your brain is different. It's responding to that pain differently. And if we take the no pain, no gain rule, then it's going to be detrimental because your body isn't processing pain in the normal way. It's processing it different. And so pain in that state can actually further send off the alarm bells to your nervous system, like, oh my gosh, something's wrong. And so that's one of the reasons why we have to respect that discomfort in the pelvic floor situation. The other thing that I want to point out here is that I know, and many of my patients have been on my pelvic sanity table and have said, well, I have a huge high pain tolerance. Don't worry about it. I'm in pain all the time, so it doesn't really matter. Or I can tolerate a lot because I'm in pain a lot all the time. And I don't want to invalidate your experience. I totally get it. I know that all of you that have pelvic pain issues are actually in pain. Your pain is extremely real and you are experiencing that pain. But if we take into consideration the science behind what's going on, what has been shown in numerous research studies is that your pain threshold is actually lower. So while your tolerance to pain or the absolute amount of pain that you're in is actually very high, you're experiencing pain at a lower threshold than somebody without your condition. And so we need to respect that, and we need to make sure that as therapists, we are taking that into consideration, because if we continue to push through something that is painful, it's detrimental to your overall healing because it's being processed in the brain in a different way.
Yeah, that pain tolerance versus pain threshold, that's something I know we wrote about, Nicole, in the IC solution, but I was really interested in the science behind all of that, and it really is. It's pain tolerance is your ability to get up and go through your day and have the courage to do all the things that you guys are doing while still in pelvic pain. Like, that's your pain tolerance, and that is something that, you know, frankly, we're in awe of. A lot of our patients who are able to still function through their day, but the pain threshold side is that stuff that is really painful for you might not be painful at all for somebody who has a more well-regulated nervous system, and that's a result of being in pain for so long. So it's as if these small things, I mean, we even hear that, right, Nicole, with, you know, vulvodynia cases or IC cases where people can't even wear underwear or tight pants or anything else. That's an example of that pain threshold. That little light touch of even fabric against you is so severe it's causing pain. That's what we're talking about with this pain threshold idea.
Yeah, and other examples of this is the waistband on your pants. Jesse also already mentioned the underwear thing. Like, if you're sitting on the couch and your cat or dog jumps on your leg and you jump in pain, like that amount of, I mean, unless your dog's like a Great Dane, that amount of touch should not bring off those alarm bells. So that's another good example of that your pain threshold's actually down without saying, oh, well, you're not in that much pain, because we know that you are, but that pain threshold is down. And that's been, like I said, studied in numerous things where pain to different areas of touch are actually hypersensitive in you. And so that we know that to be true in the case of this, the medical word for this is central sensitization, where this nervous system is on high alert and it's like a really hypersensitive car alarm going off all the time. So we have to respect that when we're doing the pelvic floor therapy.
So one of the things we were thinking about with this, Nicole, is why do we get this report so often then? If it's very clear you can't treat pain with more pain and pelvic PT should not hurt, why is that one of the more common things that we hear of people who have read the book or have taken your course and reach out and say, I'm having a hard time finding a good PT. I went in and it hurt. And I really believe that this is something that happens, and correct me if I'm wrong, Nicole, but this is when the PT has already decided or preordained exactly what they're going to do in the session, regardless of how the person is responding. And sometimes that's because maybe they've only ever had one course. They only have one tool in the toolbox. And now you're saying, well, I can't tolerate an internal exam right now. It's not feeling good, or your technique isn't good enough to make it not hurt. And the person's like, well, I don't have anything else to do, so I'm just going to keep doing that.
Right. So I feel like this kind of speaks to a bigger issue in our field a little bit where, you know, there is no pelvic floor certification. You know, what really happens is that we take one course and you can deem yourself a pelvic floor PT. And so, but we don't get a lot of training in pelvic pain conditions. So couple of things. Number one, if your PT is mostly treating pregnancy and postpartum, for instance, because that's a subspecialty area of pelvic floor therapy, and they haven't been very well versed in pain, they might not understand that that's actually a detriment to your process to healing. It can also happen if your PT either isn't well versed in pain or just doesn't know how or when to appropriately assess your nervous system response. So there are questionnaires we can do. There are tests that we can do to see, is your nervous system actually hypersensitive like that overactive car alarm that's going off all the time? And if so, there are things that we can do before we work on an area that we anticipate to be a problem. Or there are just a lot of other ways that we can get around that and choices that we have in our session. And then that brings us around to the third thing, is that if they don't have very many options in their toolbox, a lot of times they only have one, or in a lot of cases, they're seeing a lot of patients in a short period of time. And honestly, it takes a lot of mental bandwidth in order to be able to do this and think through other alternatives. And sometimes your PT can just be frankly either overwhelmed or just new at not treating a lot of these folks in pelvic pain a lot. So, but that's what happens when your PT has sort of already decided what they'll do regardless of what you are reporting to them. And it's not good and it needs to be addressed. And this is a podcast that I want you to come back to for a little bit of encouragement to advocate for yourself and speak up. And we're going to go into some solutions for this, but I want you to have, so number one, the knowledge of that this shouldn't be happening. And then the language to, how do I actually bring this up to my therapist? Like, it shouldn't be happening. You heard it here on the podcast. And now what do you do about it?
I mean, frankly, your pelvic PT should be asking you through your session, how is this feeling? Is this tolerable? What that is? If not, Nicole, like, what is that language? You just mentioned like, oh, I'm going to give language for how to do that. What do you say if you're in a session? And I know it can be intimidating being on the patient side to say something, but what's the language that people should be saying?
Yeah, I would actually say to them, hey, would you mind just stopping for a second so we can chat through what I'm feeling? Sometimes it can be very distracting to try to have a conversation with your therapist when they're either doing some internal work or even some external work. When it's like not feeling great and it's scary, then I would just say, hey, can we just pause for a moment so we can talk about what we're doing and what I'm feeling? That's one example. The other thing is that you can ask for, hey, this is really not subsiding. So now you have the language to say, like, to know that this discomfort is not subsiding. This really isn't subsiding for me. It's actually getting worse as you're working on it. I want you to let you know that. Can we pause? Can we do something else? You know, I'm not saying that you should never feel any discomfort in therapy, but it should certainly ease, and your PT should be able to tell you exactly what's going on and exactly why we're still continuing to work on this area. So they should be able to use a different technique. That's another piece of language that you could say, hey, is there any other technique that you can do that's going to accomplish the same goal? You're basically almost helping them to think through some things or to get out of their little treatment rut, because maybe five patients before you, this did work on, you know, and you are an individual. And so you need to sort of break that habit or that rut that your PT might be in. And yes, that shouldn't be your job, but yes, that's how you can do that.
Yeah, and it is unfortunately sometimes important that we advocate for ourselves in a way that we really shouldn't have to, but is going to make things more effective. But I mean, the person, there is really no excuse for this, Nicole. I know we've talked about like all of the different reasons that physical therapy is so complicated and all the things, but at the end of the day, there's really no excuse to be like inflicting pain. And this is
yeah.
Find another person if you can't, if you feel uncomfortable speaking up, or if you've tried to speak up and it hasn't, or if there's other options out there. There's literally no, they can do anything else during the session. Work somewhere else. Use a different technique, like you said. Relax the nervous system first. Postpone what they want to do for another day. Get medical management and work with your medical management team to get your symptoms down, or maybe calm your nervous system, or get some medication going before just going and doing what they want to do. But at the end of the day, like, it's not acceptable.
Totally. It's definitely not acceptable. And you deserve somebody that's going to be paying attention to you and your individualized symptoms. So there's no shame in speaking up. There's no shame in changing therapists. You don't even have to tell the person that you're working with that you want to change PTs. Like, if you have the option to do that, you can. There are more physical therapists going into this field every single day. You can look again and see if there's anyone new has popped up in your area. A lot of people, like, we have a remote consultation program. You can get a second opinion somewhere, even if you have to drive a little bit further. Like, there are options for you. And so I want this podcast to give you the context into what should be happening. And if it is happening in that way, the language and the encouragement to speak up and know how to advocate for yourself in this way.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hope this has been helpful to give you guys some context, some information, maybe some way to speak about this with your physical therapist, or the permission that you didn't really need but is helpful to get, that you can look for another option. You can ask to transfer to a different therapist if there's multiple at the same facility. And then, like Nicole mentioned, at Pelvic Sanity, we do remote consultations. So to give you an idea of the 10,000-foot view and action plan, things to be talking about with your physical therapist or the rest of your medical management team, you can find out more about that in the show notes or at pelvicsanity.com/remote-consultation. But that's something that we do if you're just having a hard time finding somebody local who isn't inflicting pain or who really knows what is going on. There are options out there more than there ever have been. So we hope this episode has been helpful. We really appreciate each and every one of you who has listened. All of you guys who have rated the podcast, thank you so much. That helps other people find it. It makes us very happy as well. So we will see all of you guys on the next episode.
And we hope that this episode has helped you to find just a little bit of pelvic sanity.